Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of The Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is a good topic for Paul Hall on Friday to ask him about. But there is, and I didn't know that this was in play. Ethan and I were just kind of talking about it in the studio. There is a sequel. They're kind of calling it a sequel to The Social Network, which is about, you know, the whistleblower who exposed a lot of the things that were happening inside of Facebook. And we just watched during the break at the top of the hour, we watched the trailer, which was released today. And Jeremy Strong plays Mark Zuckerberg. It was Jesse Eisenberg who played Zuckerberg in The Social Network. That was back in 2010. Did you see that movie, Ethan? Did you see
I thought it was
a pretty good movie.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
This one, the cast is outstanding. Betty Gilpin, who I love, Jeremy Allen White, who's obviously been very popular because of the show The Bear, which is about to wrap up here on Hulu. I love Billy Magnuson. He's got a role in here. Jeremy Strong plays Mark Zuckerberg. So Bill Burr's in this movie.
Yeah.
But you were telling me, so we just watched the trailer. It's like a 2.5 minute trailer that I just watched. It looks pretty intense. They're going to open it. It's a Sony release, so it's a big release. And it's October 9th, I think. But you're saying that the folks in your demographic have given even the trailer pushback?
There's already people that are saying that this is going to be a bashing Republicans in this side
of the
aisle.
Well, we know that.
That's going to happen. But even besides that, I think people just look at the first one and how good it was, and they're going, just based off of the trailer, saying, I've read tweets that are not a single scene or clip from the trailer looks nearly as good as what we saw in the first one.
Okay,
and I think they're setting themselves up for failure, expecting to get something similar because of how good that movie was.
I don't think it should be called a sequel. That's the thing. It's just a different movie.
It's a completely different cast.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg's a different character.
I don't know. I don't get it. Dwayne Patterson is with us from California this afternoon. He writes at hotair.com. He's the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. Did you see that trailer by any chance?
Which one? For which movie?
It's for the new, it's called The Social Reckoning. So it's like, they're pitching it as kind of a sequel to The Social Network. Jeremy Strong plays Mark Zuckerberg, but it looks like it's all about some of the things that happened in the background with the leaks and, you know, things that led up to, I guess I would call it the Twitter files and stuff like that. That was related to Facebook as well. You know, everything that Congress did. I don't know. It caught me off guard because I didn't know that this was coming out and the trailer just got released today.
I think maybe five people are going to watch it, and all of them work for MSNBC, probably.
I don't think so. I think because they're putting this in October, and it's got a good cast, and they have a way of, you know, Hollywood has a way of, and Aaron Sorkin's the director and the writer here, so he usually has pretty big hits. He's by no means anyone that would lean conservative, but I would take a bet on that one. I think that might have a little bit of, juice at the box office, but we shall see. By the way, you know what we're going to know right away? If that movie is a success or not, because box office numbers will come up over the course of 3 days. Unlike in California, if they were counting numbers...
Yeah.
It would take 3 months or something like that, right? Are you still counting?
We wouldn't know till January about the box office if they counted it in California.
So I want to tell you something. I made an ill-fated wager on my Friday show last week, and I do this a lot. And we were talking about, you know, at this point we didn't know who was going to make the runoff for mayor, so it still looked like Spencer Pratt had a chance. Now, I never thought he had any chance to winning that election overall in the general. I have a different view, and this is where I'm kind of curious about your opinion because you're out there. I have a different view of Steve Hilton. So what I did was I got 3-1 odds from one of my panelists. So I bet $100. I get $300 if Steve Hilton wins. I bet someone else straight up $100. Here's the great thing, though, Dwayne. Like, this is in November, right? I don't have, if I lose those wagers, I probably have 6 to 8 months to pay them off because the votes won't be counted. And I could just say, look, the vote code's not, it's not final. I'm not going to tell you that you're a winner. I think I have an easy out there, don't I?
You would think so. You would think so, but maybe not. There is a Supreme Court case that will have a secondary impact on this. There's an Alabama case that they've already heard oral argument, and it's about whether or not they're going to allow ballots to be cast after Election Day. And we heard oral argument in this whole thing. This was several months ago. And Alito and Roberts and Barrett and all of them were saying, no, we have Election Day. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say election week, election month, or election season. And just reading the tea leaves, if they come down the way we think they're going to come down on this Alabama case, and it could be released any time. I mean, it's one of the final cases that hasn't been dumped yet. But if this gets dumped, you know, the tail end of June, it will impact what California can do. They've already had the primary, but it will impact what they can do for the general election. And I'm not saying that Steve Hilton can win this thing because I live here. I don't believe it when I see it. It's still statewide. It's a 65-35, 60-40 Democrat over Republican registration. I mean, you could just be Joe Republican, whether or not you're Steve Hilton or somebody that's got name ID. Joe Republican, as long as there's an R next to his name, is going to get 40% of the vote and get his clock cleaned by 20 points. But what could happen now is if the late ballots no longer get counted and you have to go by what gets turned in early for absentees or whatever, and then you've got Election Day and then all this shenanigans stuff and ballot harvesting no longer gets to be allowed, then all of a sudden you've got a whole different possibility where the Democratic electorate, which has been kind of trained out here for the last 10 years, Election Day, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. Hang out, have a coffee, have a latte, and just kind of check out how things are. And, you know, you'll know what to do once you see when half the vote comes in. Then you'll know where we really need you. And if they can't do that anymore, then all of a sudden you may have a scenario where it could be a perfect storm for somebody like Steve Hilton.
Let's take for just a moment the politics out of everything in California and just strictly focus on the way that you guys vote. Because I think what we've learned, and look, I've followed elections in California before, but I'm not I don't know where you are on stolen election. I do think that there's election fraud. It would be naive to say that there's not. And there are cases that have been, certainly offered as examples, but I'm not overall a stolen election guy. And like even in California, I don't know how there would be a conspiracy to keep Spencer Pratt off the top two when Steve Hilton wins on a statewide ballot. Now, having said that, these rules that you guys have out there are so foreign to those of us who, we do have a little bit more open voting here than we used to, but to be able to just put a date on an envelope and set it in and then have it count weeks after the election takes place just seems outrageous. I'm all for making it easier for people to vote, but that seems like it's completely making it easier for people to cheat.
We have, there's this long expression in politics, not about elections, but we have this expression in politics where how you comport yourself, how you behave, how you act in office, whether you're an intern or an elected official, you're supposed to act if you're in public office so that you are above any appearance of impropriety, right?
In theory.
It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong, but don't even put yourself in a position where it looks like you might be.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the problem with California's stuff is whether or not they're cheating or not, nobody can really prove right now. And even if they could prove it, California's laws, the Democrats, they basically have legalized the stuff that interstates would say, no, you can't do this. But the problem with what California has done is they have given the appearance for impropriety to such of an absurd degree that people that want to float the conspiracy stuff, they've got all sorts of room to point.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, counting these votes quicker would do a lot to satisfy people's, questions. Because I cannot believe, and I think we talked about this last week, Election Day was Tuesday. By Tuesday morning, it was like 60% of the vote. Wednesday morning. By Thursday, it was just to 65% of the vote. And I don't even know how close you are now.
It went backwards for one day. And do you know why it went backwards?
No.
There was one day where it was like 57% of the vote in, and then it went down to like 53% of the vote in. And the reason why is because the first couple of days after the election, when they went to the mail and saw the amount of ballots that came in, it was more than the first couple of days of late ballots 4 years ago. So they went, huh, we're going to get more late ballots this time than last time, we think. So we don't know how many votes are going to come in long term, but we're just going to extrapolate based on 2 days of what came in versus 2 days 4 years ago, and we're going to now adjust what we think the final vote total is going to be based on mail that hasn't come for the next 3 weeks. And based upon that new number, we think that only 53% has come in. It's just
insanity. That is insanity. It really is. Dwayne Patterson is here from HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. How about Nancy Mace last night? Good Lord. Did you see what happened to her?
Yeah.
I mean, she was a rising star in Congress in South Carolina. She did not do herself any favors with President Trump. She claims that she tried to be on the right side of history with the Epstein files, but she finished fifth in a primary for governor with 12.5% of the vote. It's my understanding she did not make a lot of friends on Capitol Hill, and there are a lot of people that are current members of Congress that aren't too sad to see her go out this way.
She is the Republicans' version of Katie Porter out here in California.
Ooh, that says a lot.
Katie Porter, by the way, she was the rising star on the left. Remember her
and
all that stuff? She got 5% of the vote statewide.
Isn't that amazing? And that was an 5%. Undercovered story because, to your point, she was at one point a pretty heavy favorite.
She was a comer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she just... look, you don't want to, with her anger management issues, you do not want to get between her and a hot stove for the next month until she cools off.
Did you see the did you watch a lot of the SLPC testimony yesterday with this guy that gets up there, and you know, Brian Fair is his name, he's
Brian
the interim
Fair,
president.
You bet.
He couldn't answer any questions. We had Congressman Bob Onder on earlier. He was part of that House Judiciary Committee hearing. It was just embarrassing. And you know, I go back, I'm old enough to remember anchoring newscasts in the 80s and the 90s citing the SLPC as these experts on, you know, what is hate and what isn't hate. Of course, the origins of the group are quite good. They did a lot in the 1960s to, you know, fight for civil rights, but they've gotten way off the track. And for him to sit there and not even answer basic questions time and time again is, and that, by the way, that should not be political. That shouldn't be a partisan issue. That's a, you know, what the hell were you guys doing infiltrating hate groups and paying them donors' money when the donors didn't even know what you were doing?
He got hammered by all sorts of people. Tom McClintock had a piece of him. I mean, even Gerald Nadler asked him a pretty innocuous question.
And he's a Democrat,
ranking member,
right?
And when Jerry Nadler asked him a question, he said, I don't think I'm going to answer you. I don't think it'd be best for me to answer that question because of all these indictments that have come down. And Nadler's like, this has nothing to do with the indictments. I can't believe you're not answering my question. But I'll tell you, the one so he's just spinning himself into circles all day long. And then here comes Brandon Gill, Texas congressman, with the kill shot.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shot, right? Brandon Gill comes in at the very end and says, so can we at least agree that Graham Plattner is a bad guy? And when he did that to him, he got the head of the SPLC, Brian Fair, when he's sitting there looking at Brandon Gill, showing him the Totenkopf tattoo of Graham Plattner. And the guy says, well, if I were in Maine, I wouldn't vote for him.
Right, right.
That's
as far as he'll go.
And fraudulent as far as the day runs. But at least we can agree that Graham Plattner sucks.
I know, but he even almost hesitated on that. He paused and he goes, I wouldn't vote for him. And, you know, thank God he said that. And then what happens with Graham Plattner? Because, look, you heard Susan Collins say some things finally. And even President Trump, like, I want to play this because, you know, she's not been on his side on everything, but he said this today.
She does, because she's a sane woman. She's not my best friend at all. These guys are. I get along well, but I have some. But she's a sane person. And she's a person that never missed a vote in many years. I mean, she's like had 10,000 votes. She had 10 votes. She never missed a vote. Unfortunately, because sometimes she voted against me. You know, look, she's a sane woman. And she's a respected person. Maybe a little different ideology than me. But he's a thug. He's a fake thug. He's a phony.
Yeah, he's an embarrassment. The Democrats are sticking with him. But, you know, you even talked about this last week. Most people who follow and know this race and know Susan Collins, in the end, she should be able to pull away here. But they're going to fight. They're going to spend a lot of money, right?
Well, they're going to spend a lot of money, and they're going to waste a lot of money when they spend it. Here's the thing. Susan Collins had a primary, too, right? I mean, the Republicans had a primary for Senate. What was her vote total? She got 100% of the vote, right?
I didn't see the numbers. Did she?
Of the Republicans
in a
Republican primary? She got about 100% of the available Republican vote, okay? So who was Graham Plattner running against? Now, I know Janet Mills' name was still on the ballot.
But she had pulled out.
She had suspended her campaign.
Right.
And had abandoned it for weeks and never actually reactivated to the point where she was campaigning again or raising money, right? So who was he running against?
He wasn't running against anyone. Here's something
he
I heard.
70% of the available Democrats in a primary, meaning, just 3 out of 4 Democrats in an uncontested run said, yeah, he's my guy.
Right.
That's not strong support.
So the other senator from Maine is Angus King. He is technically an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats. I've heard rumors that he might endorse Susan Collins.
I think he probably will, actually. Here's what I'm hearing. The day of when it's too late to replace him on the ballot, it's floated between July 5th and July 15th. I'm now hearing that the actual drop-dead date by statute is July 13th. And so now that he's the nominee, what I'm hearing is that the Republicans, who have a whole bunch more oppo to drop on this guy, including names and people willing to go on the record and all that stuff, they're going to wait until after the 13th when they can't Joe Biden him anymore, and when they can't Bob Torricelli him anymore, when they can't Bob Menendez him anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be on the ballot,
and
then it's going to drop, right.
And then Susan Collins is going to win this by double digits.
Yeah, I think you're right in the end. Dwayne Patterson, hotair.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. I hope all is well in your world. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Thanks.
We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.